The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Monday, 2nd of November, 09. A concerned individual out there thought it would be a good idea if we did a CD on the H1N1 vaccine. So what he did, I did the intro to it, and it was one of Steve Lenman's programs from Global Research that had on what I would call an authority on the H1N1. At any rate, that is going to be posted on the site, so you can download that and burn that to CD to pass them out. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, if this is Monday, then they own it all. Oh, Ron McDonald will be with me, and Dr. Rowan will be here in just a couple of minutes. And I don't know if you've heard this or not yet, folks, but Ron Paul's HR 1207, of which he had 300 sponsors, well, it's being gutted. That's right. Ron Paul's own words, they've taken the teeth out of it. Now, who reworked this was a character by the name of Watt. And, of course, Bank of America was, well, I don't know who was in whose pocket here. But at any rate, the gentleman that was put into office by Bank of America, he's the one that's writing the new bill, and it'll strip most of the provisions out of the bill to audit the Fed. Go figure. And meantime, we've got Geithner, Treasury Secretary. He says that he's going to imprison thousands on tax charges. Well, Tim, I got an idea for you. Why don't you come to my home yourself, okay? Why don't you just kind of come over and saddle up to my door and knock on it, and why don't you present me with your paperwork? Will you do that, Mr. Geithner? Please do that. At any rate, we'll have the fellows up here with us in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, Barack Obama, he continues the Bush administration policy regarding posse comitatus. And the Obama administration, the Pentagon, prepare for homeland deployment. This is through NORTHCOM. This is not going to stop, ladies and gentlemen. It is not going to stop. By the way, I learned from my doctor today that spoke with somebody that was traveling Europe, and you won't see this in the news, the snooze here in the United States, there's a worldwide rebellion going on against the H1N1 vaccinations. Of course, you're not going to hear that here, but what they have been doing for the last couple of days in the news media is kind of bringing up, like, false little stories of people that are, well, just resisting us, and, well, they're there to reassure that all of us that it's safe. And again, they're pushing it for pregnant mothers and, you know, the like, the most vulnerable, and the children as well. They're only here to help us, folks. Keep that in mind.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you upfront to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of 4 expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply. Supply rush to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
If this is Monday, we're doing a special series with the two gentlemen, Ron McDonald and Dr. Robert Rowan. Gentlemen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And this is Robert Rowan. I am here, too.
You know, it's a good thing you have dissimilar voices. All right. Gentlemen, by the way, how did the Jeff Renz program turn out for you guys?
Actually, very, very good. He's a very gentle speaker, and I was quite pleased with the flow of the show. Very nice.
Yeah, he's got about 1 million hits a day to his website, so we'll see how that turns out for you. By the way, I just read a story here by Jim Currie. Now, if you don't know who Jim Currie is, he is the fifth vice president of the National Association of Chiefs of Police, and he's a staff writer for the News Media Alliance. He's a former editor for the House Conservative Fund's weblog, and he also serves as a political advisor for Emmy and Golden Globe-winning actor Michael Moriarty. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, gentlemen, he used to be on a program, I think it was Law and Order, if I'm not mistaken, and I had to bounce him because Mr. Moriarty was one of these old-fashioned people that thought there was a difference between legality and lawfulness. At any rate, he just wrote a story here that the Internal Revenue Service will be more aggressive in collecting back taxes. and prosecuting Americans accused of tax evasion, according to the new Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. He says that billions of dollars in income tax assessments were not paid by Americans if not collected. Annual unpaid taxes keep accumulating each year along with a penalty and interest charges to create the inventory of tax debts, which approached about $300 billion at the end of the fiscal year 2007. And, well, I can remember, gentlemen, with a guy by the name of Bob Schultz, I don't know if you remember this, from We the People Foundation, was hot on the tail of the then IRS Commissioner Rosati. And they were to have a press conference at the Press Club in Washington, D.C., just right down Pennsylvania Avenue there. And what a perfect opportunity, gentlemen, for this guy to come up and tell everybody the lawfulness of the IRS and to answer any questions of the people assembled. Well, a little happenstance got in the way. It was called 9/11. That thing was never done. And I thought, what a wonderful idea, you know, to get rid of all these tax protesters out there and all these people screaming that the 16th Amendment was never properly ratified, and any and all of those associated arguments. What a perfect opportunity for the man to answer the question. Well, he did answer it a few months later. He did another press conference and said, well, we're going to respond to this by more enforcement. So let's not have the IRS commissioner tell us the lawfulness of the IRS and the income tax. So we're just going to tell them that here's our answer. We're just going to do it by enforcement. And evidently, the IRS has developed a private debt collection program. Now, that started with limited implementation in September of 06, and fuller implementation of that began in January of 08. Well, according to the Center for American Progress, the structure of the IRS program encourages abuse. Of course, with every government program or any associated corporations that deal with a corporation, there's fraud. 25 cents of every dollar that they collect, they stuck in their own pocket. So at any rate, here we go, gentlemen. We're the IRS, and we're here to collect from you.
Well, I do have a comment on that, John. One of the things is we came across a case where the IRS was pushed to the limits as to their connection with the United States, and they openly admitted they were not part of the United States. And the other comment I would have is on the police forces of the United States across the board. Police actually didn't come into existence until 1851 into Boston, Massachusetts. You will not see it anywhere else prior to that, and you probably do a search on the Internet. But the thing was is at that time, the people never wanted to relinquish that power from themselves, so they policed their own streets. And that was the first actually paid-for police department in all of the several states. Was
relinquish it to whom?
To the government, for obvious reasons.
Right. Well, didn't we have, didn't we have county sheriffs back in 1851?
We had sheriffs, but the people policed their own towns.
Hmm.
That's how that was done.
They did
their own fire brigades and everything else.
And, of course, when they incorporated, they put up their own board known as their own city council. And then that gave them the room to create all kinds of other codified laws and statutes.
Oh, absolutely. Why not take advantage, right?
Exactly. And they did, too.
Yes.
Yeah. We're up to our eyeballs. I've chided people, and I've said before, and it's probably more true than not, that when they wake in the morning before they plant their feet on the floor to get up, they've probably already broken a law.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the myriad of laws on the books, just in one state alone, I mean, every county makes their own, every town makes their own. It goes on, and it doesn't end for some reason.
Well, and if you want to fight them, you have to sue them. And what court do we go to, guys?
Well, you know, the thing, and here's the issue with the suit, is any law that can't be traceable to your actual state constitution is a law that's being is unapplicable to the constitution itself, and anyone who pushes that law is violating your rights at that point. It's a matter of, do you really want to hold these officers in violation of their office, and you would have to do it on an individual per basis.
Well, and
misconduct in office.
Yeah, well, but violation of constitutional rights, which the government threw the Constitution out a long time ago. So, again, it begs the question of what court do we walk into with anybody that's designated an agent of whatever agency? And
again, it is your superior court of your state. That's where you bring your actions in. And I've done it. It's successful. It doesn't... It really is. Misapplication of the law is the evidence of misconduct in office. And that's really where it is. You'd be surprised how many cases do go through your court systems that are not recorded, and yet you'll see officers being taken down by them. I know it sounds like we've lost our power, but we really have not lost our power.
Well, then... add into this scenario the U.S. Northern Command, NORTHCOM, the exercises to test preparedness to perform its homeland defense and civil support missions. The GAO was asked to assess the extent which NORTHCOM is consistent with the Department of Defense guidelines. And by the way, we had to throw out Posse Comitatus to do this. But they're now sidling up with local and state law enforcement's and we're going to have troops on our street, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I can't deny that. But again, this is where you need the population. The focal point of any well-organized group would be right there at the town area, the town jurisdiction. I don't even see where I have a right to penetrate the federal government. There are jurisdictions separate than the state. It's our states we need to take back as individuals, and we do it at a grassroots situation. If we're trying to take back the entire United States, it'll never happen. All we can do is focus on our area and our area alone. And you'd be surprised if people really woke up tomorrow and everyone decided, hey, I'm going to take my town back. I want to make sure that we have a honest money system. I won't let anyone get into office, elected into office, unless they agree to an honest money system. Or they promote that honest money system from their office. But we don't act, we act as if we're waiting for a leader to come out somewhere. And the truth is, each of us is a leader. But if we sit at home waiting for someone to knock on our door and say, hey, come follow me, it'll never happen.
Well, yeah, and I've wrestled with that problem for a number of years. It just seems that people need to be asked, and they need to be chided and cajoled and pushed and begged and pleaded with. I mean, we're talking about something that affects each individual's life in this country. So we have been bred into thinking that there will be people that we can call on that will be there to help us in our darkest days. And I'll give you a classic example here. Ron Paul, his introduction of auditing the Federal Reserve. And he got over 300 sponsors on this bill. And things are humming along quite nicely. And then we had a Mr. Watt that was the in the pocket of Bank of America that basically went in and stripped out all the teeth and all the language out of the bill that would have made any force of effect with auditing the Federal Reserve, with Mr. Paul's hope and dream of ending the Fed. That, ladies and gentlemen, just went up in smoke.
How can you audit your own creditor? If the Fed is the creditor of the corporate government of the United States, which means the corporate government of the United States is the debtor, does a debtor have the right to audit his creditor?
Well, okay, let's throw a few other things, Dr. Rowan, into the mix here. How is it that the greatest debtor on the face of this planet can then turn to its people and say, okay, we've got to divvy up this debt. You owe it. I didn't contract with these banks, not directly. I didn't invite them in to be the holder in due course of money and its circulation in this country and or its credit, but I've been put on the hook for it. Let's explore that a little bit more after this break.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, so if the federal government, as a debtor, can't go back to its creditor and say, I want to look at your books, then how, gentlemen, do they put me on the hook for the national debt?
Well, let me make a comment, and then Ron will elaborate. We have a case, Ron's got a case, that you, John, are not a party to the U.S. Constitution. You never were. Ron will give you the case, and if you are not a party, and I am not a party, then we have to look at how this has come about, which I'll respond to. Ron, can, do you have that case in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Thank God I do, Robert. Spot. Actually, it's out of the Constitutional Law Digest, Volume 92, Key 665. And under that case, I quote, "No private person has a right to complain by suit in court on the grounds of a breach of the United States Constitution. For though the Constitution is a compact, he is not a party to it." Now, understand a compact. It was a compact between the states, the several states, but not between the people who were within the jurisdiction of the state and the states themselves. So we are not a party to that Constitution, and the way we were roped in is, of course, with the 14th Amendment. Did you want to handle that, Robert?
Yeah, there's actually two ways that we were roped in. The 14th Amendment is one. Prior to the 14th Amendment, we in this country were literally kings. The case Chisholm versus Georgia, the Supreme Court specifically said that at the time of the Revolution, the sovereignty of the king devolved upon the people. They were sovereigns without subjects. Now, if you're a sovereign, you're not subject to anyone else. You're sovereign. That's what the word means, and the Supreme Court specifically said that. Well, at the time, there were African slaves, and the Supreme Court in that very case acknowledged that those slaves were subjects, owned, and they were property. Well, at the end of the war, they were still property. That was their status, and the federal government had to give them some kind of status. They were captured property of war. And instead of admitting them to the common law, where rights are unalienable, unalienable, and come from the Creator, they gave them statutory rights and privileges and immunities in the 14th Amendment. And those privileges and immunities are granted by the corporate entity called the United States. So here they do have constitutional rights and privileges, not God-given, unalienable rights. And if you're choosing to be a U.S. citizen from the 14th Amendment, this is where you're choosing your protection, your allegiance. You have replaced God with a corporation called the United States. And yes, you would be subject to its debts because the fourth clause of the 14th Amendment says you can't question the debt. Now, you're going to ask, well, this pertained to the slaves. What about me? How did I get into this? And the response here has nothing to do with race, color, creed, religion. You understand that, John?
Yeah.
Okay. All men are created equal. We all have unalienable rights. But how did we get into this mess? Well, it wasn't enough for them to have captured the African population and committed them to perpetual, forever servitude and subjugation to the federal government. They had to do that to the entire population. And there they did it through the compelled use of fiat currency in 1933. To have rights...
33 or 13?
33.
Okay.
Because even after 1913, when the Federal Reserve came in, you could have had a gold piece in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was yours. You had total rights and interest in it. It was your unalienable property.
Or I could have had a gold certificate, which was redeemable in gold.
Correct.
Okay.
But you would have been better off with the gold itself.
Absolutely.
Or you could have had a silver dollar, and that would have worked the same. Because you would have total rights and interest in it, it was totally your property. And as unalienable property, as sovereign property, you had the sovereign right to contract with that. Now, in 1933, your gold certificate became worthless because your gold, which was in deposit in the United States Treasury, with that certificate being your claim check to your gold, they just walked away with your gold. They stole it. That would be no different than you leaving your baggage with a porter at the airport. You get a claim check, and you come back the next day, and he says, I took it. Can't have it back. That's what our alleged government did. It stole your gold. And instead of you being able to get your property, which you had title rights and interest in, it gave you someone else's property, a.k.a. a Federal Reserve note, which is the property of the Federal Reserve Bank. Hence, it gets the power to set the terms and conditions for the use of its property.
Okay, we got to take this break. I've got a guy holding on that says his battery's about to die in his cell phone. So if he's still active when we come back from break, we'll take his call.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Back talk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let's go to my friend here that his battery's about to die on his cell phone, Guy in Arkansas. Hello, Guy.
Hey, John, thank you for responding to my moment of desperation. Appreciate
okay.
it. Yep. You know, ever since you've gotten these gentlemen on, I've been beating the drum loud and clear on these two, telling them get their book, and doing my best to enlighten people about this awakening reality. I got a comment and a question. I'll make them quick as possible, and you gentlemen can comment on those two when I hang up. My comment is this. For the longest time, when I started understanding and studying contract law, I realized that, you know what, and I'm glad these gentlemen brought it up today, because it's something that I've been stating and people just haven't been grasping onto it, but they seem to concur the point, that since I am not a signatory to the Constitution, and that being a compact contract, then I'm not bound by the Constitution, nor does the Constitution bound me. So therefore, in my free way of thinking, I am stating that I am a free man. In fact, we all are. Anybody who is not a signatory on the Constitution is a free man. Okay, and I'll just leave it hanging at that, and your gentlemen can comment on that later. My question to these gentlemen are this. I've always had a little stinger up my butt about printing money out of thin air. And when I realized that the collateral of the country, our sweat equity, the land that we walk on, the water that we drink, and pretty soon now they're going to try and get the air that we breathe, is used as the collateral for printing these notes. So therefore, we are the creditor, not the debtor, and I'll get off and take your comments off air. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you, Guy.
I'd like to comment on the contract law he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One needs to focus on what type of entity the United States of America is, and you'll find that in Bouvier's Law Dictionary. For any of you, your listeners that haven't got a copy, you can research it right online on the Internet. And I'm going to read paragraph 5 of that. It says, the United States of America are a corporation endowed with capacity to sue and be sued to convey and receive property. That's 1 March, December 1776, 181. Now, understanding the nature of a corporation, as is described of the United States of America, it is composed of assets and liabilities. Just like GMC or any of your big corporations, they are basically made up of shareholders. Well, in this case, there are no shareholders to the United States Constitution, but they do have assets and liabilities. Now, the 14th Amendment was created under the Constitution itself. So by proclamation or by bylaws, what is the commodity in the 14th Amendment? Is it a liability or is it a asset of the United States? And it's very important that you see the perspective here because it has to be one or the other. What do you think it is, John?
I would say an asset.
An asset. That's right. Because it's made under a statutory provision. It's not created by a creator. It's made under a statutory provision. So it then is, if it's an asset, it is property owned outright by the United States of America, which is a corporation. Am I correct?
Right.
So if you deem yourself a United States citizen, you've already guaranteed that you're part of the property owned under the asset side of the ledger of the United States of America. And as we know, we can go back to the birth certificates or all types of evidence proving that everything that you labor for during your lifetime is also the property of the United States to pay off the debt under the 14th Amendment. I don't know if I've clarified that or not, but that is what the contract law is. You do not have a right to endorse that instrument, and I gave the Constitutional Volume 92 to prove that a private person cannot sue for a breach of the Constitution because he's not a party to it. So you can see where we've been roped in. Robert has explained two means by which we were roped in. The second question, printing money of, you know, at fair, what do you say, out of free air?
Out of thin air.
Out of thin air, okay. At that point, if you are the property or chattel of the United States, do you have any right to disagree with how you're being manipulated around and being used as producing the money that will pay off the debt of the United States? Do you actually have a voice in that?
Not me, Master. Don't beat me, Master.
Can I make one additional comment, Ron?
Sure.
John, you're familiar with this concept. If you go to the video store and you take out a CD or a DVD, do you have the right to make 20 copies and go and sell it?
No, because there's the FBI warning that there's penalties and fines and imprisonment if I do.
Right. And even if the warning's not there,
it's implied that that's already copyrighted material.
There's an implied contract there.
Yes.
That's correct. There's a copyright law. You can't take someone else's property and then go make copies and sell it. And if you go into court saying, but I didn't know. Do you think that's going to do you any good?
Ignorance of the law, gentlemen, is no excuse.
Correct. Now let's get back to the use of the privately owned Federal Reserve note. It's their property. It's no different than the intellectual property on that DVD. So there are rules and conditions for using that Federal Reserve note, one of which is when you import it and export it, you are subject to commercial excise taxes. There's no way out of that. But
and that's
fraud.
And that's your 861 argument going down the drain because in that argument, they're not looking at the Federal Reserve note as foreign product. they're looking at it as domestic product made in the United States.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the executive order issued by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, issued April 5th of 1933. And in this, he declares himself to be President of the United States of America. He says, so I do declare that said national emergency still continues to exist, and pursuant to said section, and he's in reference to the October 6, 1917, and that was Trading with the Enemy Act, he says that it still continues to exist, and pursuant to said section, do hereby prohibit the hoarding of gold coin, gold bullion, gold certificates within the continental United States. And again, this is United States, not United States of America, United States, by individuals, partnerships, associations, and corporations, and hereby prescribe the following regulations for carrying out the purposes of this order. Now, it goes on in this that says that any amount, any other form of currency or currency coined or issued under the laws of the United States. But here again, they go back to the United States, the capitalized version. Well, which one was it? Was he the President of the United States of America or the United States?
Well, yeah, that's key. And if you look at your Internal Revenue Codes, it'll say the United States of America in there as far as all the laws that pertain to it. But if you look at an actual case, it'll have USA on it and not the United States of America. That's one of the things that they do. But one of the little secrets I found and discovered in the Title 26 is there, it said that the United States owned territories. And I followed it through, and in the footnote, it said the reason the T in territories was not capitalized is because the United States no longer has territories.
With a capital T.
With a capital T. So there is a secret code throughout all of the titles of the United States. Would the common person, the reasonable person, deem that when it said the United States territories, would they truly understand that it really meant that there were no territories of the United States? See, we've been defrauded all the way along, and that's the point of it. And not understanding the secret codes used and implemented throughout the titles, we further are defrauded in this aspect.
In other words, what is the difference between a territory spelled with a capital T and a territory spelled with a small t when the code itself tells you that you're using the word territory small t because there are no more territories with a capital T?
See, one is a proper noun and one is a pronoun. The same use, you'll find the same thing. There were uppercase U's for United States district courts and lowercase U's of United or United State Court, or an uppercase C for courts and a lowercase C. Well, what's the difference in the code? And there definitely is a difference.
And John, I take it you've read the book fully?
Yes.
Okay. And here's another one for you. What is the difference between a U.S. district court and a court of the United States?
That was flipped in 1948, I think.
You got it. They're about 38 or 48.
Mm-hmm.
It was flipped, and the average person who walks into that court wouldn't have a clue. For your listener, the Court of the United States were the constitutional courts created under Article 3 and implemented through the Judiciary Act of 1792. Or was it 1789? It was 1789.
Yeah, 1789.
Thank you, Ron. And in the Coinage Act of 1792, it said that the money of accounts of the courts of the United States is lawful money of the United States, meaning gold or silver coin, branded and weighed. That's the money of accounts of the courts of the United States. Well, when Roosevelt stole all the gold and stole our property and refuses to redeem your gold certificate, John, there can't be a court of the United States anymore because there is no gold. But they are circulating property belonging to someone else. So they create a new court, a mirror image. And I don't know if you ever read the old Superman comics, but wasn't there something called Bizarro World?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to me, we're dealing with the Bizarro Court, a mirror image that's using the property of the Federal Reserve Bank, and it's called the U.S. District Court. So whose court is that one?
It don't belong to me.
No, it doesn't. And I don't think it belongs to the United States either.
It is a foreign entity?
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing is emphasizing that word hoarding. Change gold to money. How does a man who saved all his life from his labor hoard his own money, his own property?
That's what it does not spell out in this executive order. In the last section of this, here's where the proverbial sword of Damocles goes a-swinging. Whoever willfully violates any provision of this executive order or of these regulations of any rule, regulation, or license issued thereunder may be fined not more than $10,000, or if a natural person may be imprisoned for not more than 10 years or both, and any officer, director, or agent of any corporation who knowingly participates in any such violation, in other words, we're talking about real money here, anybody that participates in any such violation may be punished by a like fine, imprisoned, or both.
Well, let me explain one thing about that phrase, natural person. If you look in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, look up natural person or corporation. You'll see that a corporation is not only an artificial person, it is at times deemed a natural person. So how is it defined in that executive order as corporations? And I'll give you a for instance.
I don't know. I would have to go back to George Orwell's 1984 to give you an answer on that one.
I'll give you for instance in the state of California. The corporation as it is defined in the Franchise Tax Board is considered a corporation that does business throughout every county of the state. An individual is also defined as a corporation that does business in one county of the state. So when you define the term individual, are you talking about a human being or a corporation? You see the confusing of the language?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm hearkening, my thoughts are going back to July of 1868 when we had the 14th Amendment entered in. This was part of Reconstruction, and whether the Civil War was planned to centralize and consolidate power in Washington, D.C., by way of Abraham Lincoln, is one that must be further debated because, well, Lincoln didn't survive the assassination. But there were people that took advantage of this, and by all indications, it was Lincoln's wish to return the United States to its former self rather than do this Reconstruction, do what the Federalists wanted, consolidate the power in Washington, D.C., and off we're running here with government, federal government at least, running roughshod over the states. Now, let me take this call because I have a follow-up question here. When we were talking about the state versus the people, that the Constitution only recognizes the state and not the people. Well, who is the state if it is not comprised of the people? But first, let me go to Joe in Virginia. Hello, Joe.
Hey, John. Much of what I believe the gentlemen have been talking about is found in the Clearfield Doctrine. I'm sure they've heard of that. And I just called them to talk about what you mentioned at the beginning of the show about the H.R. 1207 being gutted. Now's the time. If we can't audit them, we need to end them, because that is within the people's power to put pressure on their congressmen. If they were so all fired up that we got 300 representatives to audit the Fed, now that they want to gut the bill and we can't find out where our precious sweat equity is going, we can end them. And I believe RBN can play a big part in bringing that about.
Okay.
if your gentleman would address the Clearfield Doctrine, I know it's been a while since I read it, but they said your government was destroyed when your money was destroyed, and that's where everything flipped around. You got your different courts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the show, gentlemen. I'll go back and listen on air.
Thank you. What about the Clearfield Doctrine? Either of you gentlemen familiar with it?
It's been so long for me, I'd have to reread it.
Okay.
But I am familiar with it, but it's been a while.
All right.
Well, I do have one comment about what he said. If you need... there's three aspects to a government. Excuse me. There's three key and one more. We tend to think that a government needs an executive, a judiciary and a legislative branch to exist. Am I right?
That's what the fairy tale is.
Okay, but you need one more thing. Do you know what that is?
The courts?
No. Well, no, that's the judiciary.
That's part of the judiciary. Okay.
You need a treasury. You need gold. You need a treasury. And if you don't have gold in your treasury, then you don't have a republic. You don't have a country.
Well, well, let me go back. Okay, we're coming up on a break here. I'll bring the point up after the break. We'll invite your participation in this, ladies and gentlemen, because we're only talking about the construct of the country or the deconstruction of it. 800-313-9443. And I want to vet this out with you guys. The state versus the people. If the Constitution only applies to the state, where do the people come in? We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, we are back. Gentlemen, okay, so the Constitution.
John, may I address Joe's
please,
question
go ahead.
On that Clearfield Doctrine? It finally came back to me.
Okay.
That was one of the most important cases in this country. It was actually the case Erie versus Tompkins, and it was a railroad, Erie Railroad,
mm-hmm.
that had a timber sticking out the side of it, and a man walking along the railroad tracks was hit by that timber. the timber, let's put it that way. What had happened is it went through the court system, and they deemed that the jurisdiction, because railroads are in interstate commerce, they deemed the jurisdiction of that case under the Commerce Clause. Now, understand, and I researched this here one, and I didn't see anything terrific about the case until I read a footnote on it. And you'll only find this in a law library. And that footnote stated that from that point on, all common law cases shall be deemed civil actions. Now, I don't recall if you remember me reading The Huntress, or actually that $3,976 and $62 in currency in the 1960 Ford station wagon, where it says the revenue laws, the IRS moves on forfeiture in admiralty, commences it in admiralty, then it takes on the appearance of a civil action. Well, the civil action, where they changed the common law in that case to civil actions, they then merged the commerce into the common law, and we've lost our common law at that point. That's the importance of that case.
Hmm. All right, so what about the Constitution only recognizing the states and not the people?
Well, initially, the Constitution was a compact between the states and their agent. The states created an entity that's called the United States. It created that entity to be their servant for various causes, namely commerce and defense. Those are the two biggies. So they ceded these powers that they had to the central government for these purposes. And it was to deal with commerce among the states. It didn't say interstate commerce. It says commerce among the states. Now, where am I in that? And where are you in that? You don't exist in that. And remember, at that time, the people of the states were sovereigns without subjects. Hence, the United States was not above them, nor was their state above them. They were the creators of the state. They couldn't be subject to the state because they were the creators of the state. We got into this through the 14th Amendment, and then by using someone else's privately owned property, the Federal Reserve Note. And that also does something to identify us. You might say, well, I didn't know this. Well, that's true. But when you walk into a court today, there's something called presumption. And Ron can explain on that. But when you walk into the court and you have a Federal Reserve note, you are presumed to be a debtor. And you have no rights, only the privileges of your creditor. And Ron needs to expand on that.
All right. Let's do that in the next hour, gentlemen. And we'll take your calls as well. This is important information. If we're to find our way through this legal ease and come up with a solution of restoring the republic, well, one of the first things would be, well, to end the Fed and get a gold or silver-backed currency once again in the country. But if Ron Paul can't do it with 300 people just to audit these creatures, as these gentlemen said, when does the creditor, or when does the debtor have the right to examine the contract of the people loaning all this stuff? We'll discuss more of this into the next hour. We'll be right back.
With recent internet